The following audio is part of wider coverage of Disrupt Land Forces 2024, recorded and produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR by our dedicated team of volunteer programmers. To access 3CR's full coverage of events of Disrupt Land Forces 2024, head to 3cr.org.au/DLF2024.
My name is Fung with Tuesday Breakfast, and I'm here with Jordan from Green Left Radio. We're here outside 550 Bourke Street. Today is Thursday, the 12th of September. It's just gone past 4:30 p.m. and we're here at the Hanwha Albert Out of Victoria rally as part of Disrupt Land Forces. Jordan, do you want to tell us a bit about this event?
Yeah, we are here today at a rally at Hanwha HQ as part of the Disrupt Land Forces Week. So for those who don't know, the Albanese government has signed contracts worth, you know, billions of dollars with Hanwha Defence, which is a South Korean arm company that manufacture weapons, or really vehicles that are being used. You know, they're based also in Geelong, I believe. So we're here also protesting against Elbit Systems. You know, this is part of the Elbit Systems campaign that has been running for months and months, sort of spearheaded by the Free Palestine NAM Coalition. So we're here today. We've got a litany of speakers, all anti-military, pro-Palestine solidarity. It should be a great one.
And for listeners who couldn't make it to the event, can you just describe like what you can see, the types of people here?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we haven't even started yet, and already I would say we probably have hundreds in attendance. There's very little room to maneuver. We've got big banners going up and down the elevators saying sanction Israel, scrap AUKUS war pact. So it's fantastic to see that this is also a broader anti-military protest happening today, making reference to the $680 billion nuclear submarine deal as part of the trilateral AUKUS military pact. We've got chanting happening, we've got placards, flags waving. We'll quickly record so listeners can listen to some of the chanting happening here. So as you can hear, it's quite lively and we haven't even actually begun yet.
Resistance is justified! Resistance is justified! Thank you so much for showing up! We're here outside Hanwha, South Korean arms company. Shame! We're about to start this protest. I'll hand over to the MCs. Thank you so much for being here.
Before we begin, we'd like to acknowledge that we are meeting today on the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend that to First Nations people joining us today. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this means the land we are standing on right here is Aboriginal land. The land that Hanwha headquarters is on is unceded Aboriginal land. And the land that Avalon Precinct is on is unceded Aboriginal land. And the land that the Melbourne Convention Exhibition Centre is on is unceded Aboriginal land.
Absolutely.
If we oppose weapons manufacturers in our city because of genocide, apartheid, and state militarization, they enable overseas, we must remember that all those things exist on this continent today, still. So-called Australia is a military occupation, as is Israel, and both are illegal occupying powers, violently colonizing unceded Indigenous land through mass imprisonment, continuous genocide and military and police violence. The weapons manufacturers at Land Forces produce and sell the bullets that police have used to kill First Nations people on this continent, as well as the bombs that kill civilians in West Papua, Palestine, Kanaky, and more. Activists in the Uendamu in the NT are calling for a police ceasefire, just as Palestinians in Gaza are causing for a ceasefire. We must demilitarize and decolonize from Nam to Palestine. Thank you all so much for coming today. It's beautiful to see all of your faces out here. This is a community rally here to hear from a diverse range of voices coming together to oppose state and federal complicity in the arms trade. And today we're going to keep each other safe. We're going to look out for each other. If you need to speak to anyone, we have marshals. And I look forward to hearing from all of the incredible speakers that have decided to speak and share with us today. Thank you.
Myself and Zan are from the Albert Out of Victoria campaign.
Thank you.
We're a grassroots campaign founded in 2024 to kick Albert systems out of Victoria and so-called Australia. We aim to end all local partnerships with Albert systems, including government, university, and commercial partnerships. Yes. So why do we want to kick Albert out of Victoria? They're criminals. You probably all know. Albert Systems is Israel's biggest weapons company. It's primary provider of the Israeli military's land-based equipment and unmanned aerial vehicles. It was established in 1966 to enable Israel's illegal under international law, apartheid occupation and ethnic cleansing of Palestine by arming the Zionist regime to the teeth. Shame. This means it is the primary provider of death and destruction to the Palestinian people. Albert Systems also exports weapons to oppressive occupations and regimes across the world. Albert has a history of developing illegal weapons, including white phosphorus and cluster bombs that continue to be illegally used in Palestine today. These are illegal chemical weapons, and yet Albert Systems Australia has a stall at Land Forces down the road. Yay! Albert manufactures armed drones that are controlled using computer software by people who are geographically removed from occupied and apartheid zones, dehumanizing the routine massacre of civilians. They also use installed radar and surveillance towers along the apartheid walls in Palestine and the United States-Mexico border. These surveillance drones are used by the IDF to monitor Palestinian people and, surprise, surprise, by the British authorities to stop migrants from seeking refuge. Albert Systems and the weapons and the work and the technologies they develop are used across the globe against innocent civilians. And yet this building here has a partnership with them, the Victorian government has a partnership with them, and they are literally down the road at the MCC right now having fancy dinners and making deals. Albert out of Victoria, our demands are fund communities, not bombs. End all local partnerships with Albert Systems. Shut down weapons factories in Victoria. End arms trade with Israel. Demilitarize Victoria. And accountability of the Australian government for aiding and abetting genocide. We hear a lot about complicity, but we go further. The Australian government is actively funding, aiding, and abetting this genocide. Yay! So a little bit about the this Hanwha project, if we're talking about Albert, why are we outside Hanwha HQ? Mostly because the Albert systems have hidden where their actual offices are from us. And also because here in this very building, the Hanwha HQ exists and it has a partnership with the Albanese government. The Albanese government has signed contracts worth up to $7 billion with Hanwha Defence Australia to manufacture 129 Redback infantry fighting vehicles for the Australian Army. With from this $7 billion, $917 million has been supplied to Albert Systems. The manufacturing of these vehicles is to take place at the recently opened Hanwha Armoured Vehicle Centre of Excellence. Out in Avalon, right next to the airport. Just finished. So whilst a genocide is being waged in Gaza, and while schools, hospitals and communities are underfunded here in so-called Australia, the Albanese government has lined the pockets of Hanwha and Albert with $7 billion to build just 129 tanks. As I said, this undoubtedly doesn't just make them complicit in war crimes, but an enabler. They are funding and partnering with the companies that are literally making a killing. We come together today to refuse this future, a future where taxpayer money is being used towards the Australian government's long-term objective to strengthen our weapons supply chain, take advantage of people, land, and resources in our local communities, and deepen military partnerships. We come together today and we refuse this future loud and clear. As I said, the reason that we're holding this rally today is because at the Land Forces Weapons Expo down the road, both Hanwha and Albert are exhibiting their death technology right now. The Land Forces Weapons Expo is where the decisions are made that funnel our tax money into the military-industrial complex. We refuse to allow these dirty deals in our city. And that is why we have called this rally as part of Disrupt Land Forces to demonstrate the cross-community opposition to weapons manufacturing and state militarization. The government and the weapons manufacturers, they don't want us to know about these deals or these projects or this money. They want to keep it secret. They want to obscure their dealings with talks of jobs and defense opportunities and profit and pretend that they aren't dealing in death and destruction. So by gathering here today, we hope to bring awareness and build our grassroots movement until the government can no longer ignore us. And they are forced to abandon this illegal and immoral partnership and fund communities, not bombs. So to demonstrate the strength of our campaign, we have a variety of speakers for you today from multiple different organizations and political standpoints, all uniting here today to oppose this project and this partnership.
Our first speaker is Tasneem from Albert Outer Victoria. Thank you so much for speaking today.
All right, thank you to our wonderful MCs. Thank you to all of you for showing up. Free, free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
I want to start with an acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Always was, always will be. Now, we planned this rally a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, to be on the occasion of this Weapons Expo being hosted here in Victoria, being hosted here in Melbourne. We knew that this would be an event where the police will want to make some kind of show, where the Victorian government would want to parade all its force and bring everything it can against the movement.
Yay!
A Albert Out of Victoria is a campaign that we launched within the last few months during this Gaza genocide, where Israeli crimes of genocide, crimes of apartheid, crimes of the occupation and settler colonialism are on full show on all of our live streamed screens. There's no reason for us to have to stand here and argue a case against why we don't want to be making deals with war criminals. War criminals who we witnessed just this year and last year being taken to the International Criminal Court and to the International Court of Justice. So that's not what we're trying to do here, and that's not where the movement is at. We are not here to make a case to appeal to some kind of liberal morality or liberal sensibilities when Western humanity is under the rubble, buried in Gaza. Our job is to uphold international justice. That's the job of all free people. That's the job of the workers' movement. That's the job of oppressed people to stand in solidarity with one another. And that is what we're doing as Free Palestine Coalition, as Albert Out of Victoria, and as many of the pro-Palestinian groups that are working together with the Free West Papua group, with Indigenous justice groups, with marginalized groups, Free Kanaki, etc. We come together because we have a single enemy that we've identified, and that enemy is profiting from weapons, that enemy is trading through blood, that enemy is fueling war and genocide and wanting a future where the forever wars continue. It's not only about time, but it is actually late for us to be building this anti-war movement. Yesterday was the anniversary of 9/11. And we know that when September 11 happened, there was a huge reaction, much more force than we saw yesterday on the streets of Melbourne. What we saw was the justification of placing categories of people outside of the rule of law, so-called rule of law, where liberal democracies, where Western nations decided to position Muslims as the enemy number one and Arabs as the enemy number one. If you're watching the news, you would see that Australian generals and Australian members of the Australian Army are actually right now in court for war crimes committed in Afghanistan. But what a shame it is that it had to be after 20 years that only a select few are held accountable. This, again, is a way to maintain this facade of human rights and international law while committing the most disgusting, the most despicable crimes in the modern history. Australia's militarization extends across the world and within this region and on this continent. And so when we're asked why are we opposing a weapons expo, it's because Australia is part of the war machine. We should not have to defend ourselves for standing up against the warmongers, and that includes the Australian government and the Victorian government. It's enough with this belief in this democratic government. What we need to do is stand up together against this systemic oppression that we face because we stand up. When we stand up and fight, what the police is saying to us and what the government is saying to us is that we will crush you because we will protect the system. Well, what we say is we will keep organizing, we will keep coming together, and we'll keep getting stronger, because this status quo of death we're not going to accept the status quo of death. We have the right to choose, and we are choosing to defend Gaza. We are choosing to defend Palestine, to defend West Papua. The most logical way that we can aid Gaza right now is by limiting the flow of arms to Israel. And that's why we will stop arming Israel. 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 Stop arming Israel.
I think it's so powerful that we can all be here today and learn from each other and use what we hear from every speaker to keep organizing and mobilizing and getting stronger in the resistance. So thank you for sharing space with us today. I'd like to welcome our next speaker is Carlos from Disrupt Land Forces. Give it up for Carlos.
All right, hello everyone. Apologies, I wasn't supposed to talk today. The one that was supposed to talk was Zelda, which is one of our organizers of Disrupt Land Forces. She was arrested earlier on. So I'm just gonna improvise. When my time is up, just tap me on the shoulder. But I think it's important to mention this. And like the previous speakers were saying about organizing, because the state are trying to target the heads, the organizers, by any means they can, by harassing, by arresting. They're trying to find anything because they think that if they remove the heads, if they attack the people, the leaders, that you're all just going to go back home. And we cannot let that happen. We need to build a movement that's strong enough. We need to build a movement of organizers, of leaders, that's strong enough that even if they take half of us, then someone here, a lot of you, will rise up and become those leaders, become those organizers, okay? All right. Anyone that was here yesterday, how unbelievably amazing yesterday was. So many groups got together. Disrupt Land Forces is a coalition of more than 40 groups, and it has taken a lot of work from everyone to put this together. And I think yesterday was a show that it really paid off. It's a show that people in the arm and everywhere are just so fed up with it, that we will not stand for it, and that we will stop the arms trade with any nation, any state that is involved in genocide. Let's stop that. Why I'm wearing this? I'm wearing a suit. I'm pretending to be a businessman. As you can see, I have blood on me. I've been saying I was testing some weapons on some human beings, and they work really good. I got splashed, but ignore it. But the fact is that a lot of businessmen, a lot of people, war crimes start in corporate rooms. Okay? We have normalized this corporate culture of profit and greed, and they are walking among us with their clean suits. Their suits don't have blood, but we can see their fucking blood in their shirts. Okay? So this is not something that has... It's important to think, we have the land forces, we're trying to shut it down. I'm sure they're gonna think twice for the next one after all that we have done. But it doesn't stop here. It's not just about land forces. It didn't start yesterday. It didn't even start 11 months ago. It has been happening for years, for decades. We have First Nations peoples, indigenous people, like in my case, from Colombia, West Papua, Philippines, you name it, there is a military industry that has affected their population for the simple fact that they're making literally a killing. So, shame. So Disrupt Land Forces and all the activities, all the events that everyone has put together, and also all the independent actions. Like, all the independent actions, they cannot stop on Friday when the conference shuts down. We need to continue, and Elbit Out of Victoria is one of those things that is happening here, like what they're trying to do in Avalon, everything they're trying to do. This fight, it did not start yesterday, it will not end tomorrow. We need to continue fighting nonstop. We cannot normalize profit. I got tough, so I have to finish up. So yeah, to finish up, I just want to plug tomorrow at Disrupt Land Forces, we're gonna have a zombie rave to end the convention as they're finishing up and packing home and patting each other on the back for all the deals they make, for all the blood they shed. We're gonna be there as zombies, and we're going to have a party in all of Melbourne to tell them, look what you've done. So come to the zombie raves at 3 p.m. We're also having a forum at 6. It's a forum to discuss what's happened after land forces, beyond land forces. How do we work together as individuals, as community, as organizations? How do we work to end the militarization of the world, of Oceania? So a lot of activities are still happening. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. And stop arming Israel, stop arming everyone.
Okay. I'm here with Sarah Hathaway, who just spoke at the Hanawa Elbit rally here in Nam, Melbourne. So can you just quickly introduce yourself and then maybe summarise what your speech was about?
Yeah, so my name's Sarah Hathaway. I'm a councillor with the City of Greater Geelong Council, and I currently represent the Windermere Ward, which is the northern suburbs of Geelong. We're here today out front of Hanwha Defence's headquarters on Bourke Street in Melbourne, protesting both Hanwha Defence's new precinct out of Avalon Airport, which is in the ward that I represent. And really what I've spoke about today is highlighting that we're losing funding for services, so there's not enough servicing of the northern suburbs, yet at the same time at a federal, state and council level, we're seeing investment into the defence industry or promotion of the defence industry.
Thank you, Sarah. So when we reflect on the events of the last couple of days at the Disrupt Land Forces week of action, that has been called, we've seen so much police brutality, and we've seen, you know, heavily equipped police using weapons such as rubber bullets, OC pellets, flashbangs on civilians, protesters. Reflecting on these, what does it tell you about the state of our society when you're in combination with, you know, the way that First Nations communities are also policed? What does that tell you, and why should we demilitarise society?
Yeah, look, just focusing on events that happened yesterday, we saw $15 million spent on a couple of hours of everything you just said, probably the most militaristic, over-the-top, disproportionate police response I think we've ever seen in Victoria. Rubber bullets, pepper spray, flashbang grenades. And yet, as I spoke about today, like some of the most marginalised communities, whether that be remote First Nations communities or marginalised communities in my ward, when we call 000, we can't get police to come out and help with, say, family violence situations. We can't get ambulances out. So it's just a complete outrageous misspend of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, absolutely. And so looking towards building an anti-military movement, anti-war movement, and a movement that, you know, looks to stop the arming, the manufacture of arms and the proliferation of arms in our society, what can people do in March next year, as you mentioned in your speech, to be part of building that movement?
So in March next year is the Avalon Air Show Weapons Expo. It's at Avalon Airport, I think 29th and the 30th of March. We want to shut it down. Over $600,000 of ratepayers' money, Geelong City Council money, is going to sponsor this expo. So today at this rally, I've made the ask to Melbourne activists to please come down the highway in March 2025 and help IPAN and Free Palestine Geelong shut this down.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you for joining us on 3CR 855 on your dial. And do you have any concluding comments?
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You're listening to 3CR. It's Toby from Solidarity Breakfast on Saturdays. It is Thursday, the 12th of September. You've just been listening to a selection of speeches from the Hanwha and Elbit out of Vic as part of the Disrupt Land Forces 2024, with some street interviews from the comrade Jordan from the Green Left, and now some excerpts from the vigil down by the water. If you want to hear any of the speeches from any of the days, you can go to 3cr.org.au/DLF2024.
The land we stand on here today belongs to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. This land was never ceded. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and to any First Nations people here with us tonight. We acknowledge that we stand on country that does not belong to the settler, that sovereignty was never ceded, that this land always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We are standing on country that was stolen, taken through force, and a genocide. A genocide not dissimilar to the one that we've been witnessing, live streamed for 11 months for the world to see. Live streamed for the world to see, yet its reality consistently denied. For 11 months now, Palestinians have experienced atrocities that no human should ever have to endure. In its latest barbaric attack, Israel dropped a 2,000-pound bomb in a humanitarian zone where Palestinian families are residing in tents. The attack was so deadly it created 9-meter craters, burying families beneath the dirt, displaced family who had gone to seek refuge in this so-called safe zone. The weapons that have been used through the last 11 months by Israel are some of the deadliest weapons ever created. Weaponry to be considered at the forefront of death technology. Their quantities exceeding amounts used in previous entire wars. Weaponry that for the entirety of this week has been in this premises, making war criminals richer and providing the literal ammunition to continue destroying lives. But that's why we're here tonight, because we stand with Palestinians. We are bearing witness to their suffering, acknowledging that we will never turn away. We are here to hold the politicians of so-called Australia accountable. But most importantly, we are here tonight to grieve and to mourn and to support one another in this moment of resistance. With that feeling in mind, we look to Palestinians who have shown us the kind of resistance and resilience that no human should ever, ever have to show. We are now going to have a few minutes of silence for everyone who has been affected, killed, lives destroyed, humans, animals, places. And keep in mind those who are still in Palestine, alive, resisting, fighting, and existing in this violent Zionist imperialist regime. Please take a moment to be silent and keep this in mind. The African Solidarity Collective is a newly founded Pan-African community group with members from across the African continent and beyond. ASC aims to highlight the profound interconnectedness of the struggle against colonialism and Western imperialism across Africa, Palestine, and across the global South, as well as build community for BIPOC activists to shine a light on the issues affecting Black and African peoples here in so-called Australia. Jamali is a culture worker primarily working in the realm of poetry to make spaces where radical activists and artists can connect to their commitment to liberation. Please welcome Jamali, who's going to do some spoken word for us.
Thank you. I'm going to read some poems because I think something that was really powerful just gone. I mean, there's been lots, but sort of the role of art and culture in resistance. Oh, sorry. The role of art and culture, like, in resistance, in maintaining our shared humanity in the face of so much, is really vital. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. Beauty against terror. Beauty through terror. Beauty under terror. In spite of the terror, here's something beautiful. You can never terrorize the beauty out of us. This is something for the politicians. You're slipping. You're pointing to a graffitied office, calling it violent, calling it undemocratic, but we all know that's not it. You don't even get out of bed for that. It's bread and circuses, just something for the front page. The real violence is where you get paid. The real violence is what burns and mangles, that tears at men, women, children, at human beings of every gender, age, and ability until they are just flesh, That's where the money is made. You feign outrage when your portrait is defaced, but we both know your cash flows from vandalizing human faces into bloody caricatures of agony. You can do all that. Line your pockets and go on and on about democracy and civility and pretend you're scared by a few broken windows for now. What is it Peter Tosh said? You can fool some people sometime, but you can't fool all the people all the time. You can't fool us, and we'd like to see what you're really scared of. This is more about art, I guess. Let's make art, or better yet, let's contribute to culture, for the revolution, for living, culture for healing, recovery, and care. Not content for soothing, distracting, and anesthetizing. It can't all be tunes to bombard the headquarters to. Some of it is for dressing wounds, for easing the horror and processing the pain. We need creativity to bring us together so that when we need to, we can move. And I think that the kites are really a beautiful example of that.
I would like to welcome Jenny from the Medical Association for the Prevention of War and Healthcare Workers for Palestine to read the statement, as unfortunately Dr. Bushra could not be with us here tonight.
I'm very honoured to represent Dr. Bushra, who I heard speaking a couple of weeks ago at a meeting about her experience in Palestine. Dear friends, my name is Dr. Bushra Othman, a general surgeon from Melbourne. I am a Palestinian Australian. Before I begin, I want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we gather, and I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. I was given the privilege to travel to Gaza on a three-week volunteer mission, medical mission with PANSMA, the Palestinian Australian New Zealand Medical Organisation. Each morning we wake up to news of multiple massacres happening all across Gaza with no foreseeable end in sight to the slaughter. Thank you for being here today. I stand before you with a deep sense of urgency and outrage, for as we speak, there are two starkly contrasting realities unfolding before us. On one hand, in Melbourne, we are witnessing the largest arms expo in the Southern Hemisphere. Here, weapons manufacturers from around the world gather to flaunt their newest tools of war, cut deals, and count profits. On the other hand, in Gaza, bombs have been raining down for the past 11 months, killing Palestinians indiscriminately, mothers, fathers, children. Lives have been shattered, families destroyed, and homes reduced to rubble. The connection between these two events is undeniable and horrifying. It is no coincidence that the same companies displaying their technologies in Melbourne are profiting from the very bombs that are falling in Gaza. These companies do not just produce weapons. They manufacture death, suffering, and destruction. Let me be clear, profiting from war while a genocide is occurring is not just a crime, it is an atrocity. It is a moral and ethical abomination that our global society must reckon with. I think of the beautiful children of Al-Aqsa Hospital, Wessam and Dima and Ranin and Ziad, who can tell the difference between the noise of a quadcopter, an F-16 and a drone. I think of the quadcopters, small devices that can fly anywhere and target doctors and nurses in hospitals, so-called protected facilities under international humanitarian law. I think of Anwar and Ragad and Mohammed and thousands of other children and teenagers, all with disfigured bodies and amputated limbs from bombs and shrapnel injuries. I think of the young men who were targeted by the Israeli military with gunshots to the pelvis and lower limbs to be disabled for life. What is happening in Gaza is not a mere conflict. It is the systematic destruction of a people, the erasure of human dignity. When bombs fall indiscriminately, when civilian homes and schools and refugee camps are targeted, when children die in their sleep, it ceases to be a war. It becomes genocide. And to profit from that, to fill your pockets with blood money while this tragedy unfolds, is a crime so heinous that it calls for global condemnation. There is no justification, none, for profiting from weapons while innocent people are being slaughtered. This is not about defence, this is about exploitation. It is about turning human suffering into an economic opportunity. It is about making genocide a business model. To stand by and let this happen is to be complicit. And this is not just a local issue. It is a global issue. Our governments, our corporations, and yes, even we as individuals must take a stand against this monstrous cycle of profit-driven warfare. We must demand accountability. We must demand justice. We must demand an end to the profiteering from human misery. And most of all, we must stand in solidarity with the people of Gaza and all others across the world who are suffering the consequences of this global war machine. Their lives matter. Their pain matters. Each life is precious, and we cannot allow their suffering to be reduced to numbers on a spreadsheet. Thank you.
I'd like to welcome Aoife Dermody and M. Kilday, the traditional Irish singers and members of Folk Artists for Palestine NAM and the Island Palestine Solidarity Australia. They're going to sing for us, and I invite you to think about the oppression that is currently happening and has been happening in this world consistently and endlessly.
Hi, thank you. We're very humbled to be here in this particular gathering of grief. We're going to sing a song, but it's a song that contains an acknowledgement of the horrific impact of colonial violence. So I send my deepest love and solidarity to anyone here who is grieving loved ones who have been lost, or family or community who are being lost now to that brutal colonial violence in Palestine and here in so-called Australia. The song is a song of hope because, of course, we know that the colony will fall eventually. It has fallen in the south of Ireland. It will fall in the north of Ireland. It will fall here in so-called Australia, and it will fall in Palestine. This song is a very traditional Irish song that tells the story or kind of speaks to the experiences of Irish farmers who were evicted from their lands and replaced with settlers. And we have rewritten it as one that is specifically kind of expressing solidarity with Palestinians in this phase of the Palestinian genocide.
All you loyal heroes, and listen unto me. Don't heed the politicians or Murdoch companies, for day by day they'll try their best to keep it from your mind. That brave and bold resistance at the rocks of Palestine, those tanks come trundling from the west, put targets on their homes. And from the piles of rubble, heroes harvest up the stones. And they'll fight on forever, one slingshot the time against the occupation at the rocks of Palestine. In Gulliv Turtle Island, me and in Anchwane, we fight the colonizer. Deep roots and love prevail in history, and hope we see our stories are aligned. We know they will know freedom at the rocks of Palestine. Across the world, in every town, your cry, your call we hear. We rally to your banners, and we chant on through our tears. Your struggle is our struggle, and our fates are all entwined. That's why we'll keep on fighting for the rocks of Palestine.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Jenny back to the microphone to read some quotes sent from Dr. Nassim, who has been on the ground as a healthcare worker during this genocide.
This time I'm speaking as Dr. Nassim, a Palestinian doctor. I work as a doctor and have traveled to many countries. I saw rights, democracy, respect for humanity, and by the way, we live in 2024. I remembered that now and said, why are we the only ones who live in this time that does not change, the year of occupation and displacement, 1948? Why does time not change? We are only fixed on occupation, oppression, injustice and genocide. Why? Am I dreaming? Do I want to wake up from this terrifying dream? I am asking myself why, and send a message to the free conscience in the world who have human hearts. Why? Why are we the only people in the world still living under occupation? Why are we the only people being exterminated? Why are we suffering oppression and slavery? Why do we resist in defence, freedom and dignity? Why do we want to be like others, like humans, living life and loving it? Why don't my children have the right to live in safety, play games, eat, drink and sleep in peace without fear of tomorrow, and to dream their beautiful pink dreams? Why? We love life and defend it because we want Palestine and Gaza to be free. I want to talk about what I saw and what I heard from the injured and survivors of the bombing. We need many books in order to record these great and terrifying events. About working in the hospital, I am available around the clock in the hospital. This is because I am displaced here. I left my house because the area is unsafe and there are houses adjacent to us that are threatened by bombing or have been bombed. Also, my house was damaged. I traveled with my family 4 times to the hospital and tents, all out of fear and to escape from indiscriminate bombing. There is no safe place. We thought hospitals were safe, but unfortunately the enemy does not have any ethics of humanity, human rights, and does not recognize international treaties such as Geneva and the article that emphasizes the need to protect hospital workers. Can you imagine? A little girl emerges from under the rubble. She tells the paramedic, "Uncle, uncle, is this a dream or reality? Please tell me it is a dream." She is crying from fear and panic and cannot believe what is happening to her. An 8-year-old girl was injured by the bombing. She underwent surgery to amputate her right hand above the elbow. she still cannot look at her amputated hand. And when I go to follow her, Dr. Uncle, tell me when you are going to return the right limb to me so I can look at it. What do I say? What do I do? I was crying inside until I left her, crying because of the pain over her. This child suffers from many injuries that are not her fault. So you can play, eat, and write with it. Are these children targets of the occupation? Are they resistant? Is this the target bank for the occupying killer? It's genocide. Then she says, thank you for your support. Thank you for your solidarity. Thank you for your humanity, your feeling, and your freedom, and for standing with the truth. Thank you for being one of the few defenders of freedom. Thank you for being part of the liberation of my homeland, Palestine, and being against the famine, displacement, and genocide. Thank you, thank you. I hope to extend my thanks to all of your friends and participating with you. Thank you.
Very recently, the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra had cancelled an acclaimed pianist's upcoming performance after he premiered a piece of music and dedicated it to the journalists of Gaza. Pianist Jason Gilham was scheduled to perform at the Melbourne Town Hall with the MSO. But Gilham's name was removed from the MSO website after he premiered this piece. The piece of music was named Witness by Connor Donetto. Connor wrote a statement about the piece, and it follows. I've been thinking about social media a lot recently, how we are all constantly seeing horrific images from not just Gaza, but all around the world. From Ukraine, Congo, Sudan, the riots of Bangladesh, school shootings in the USA, and closer to home, the treatment of First Nations people in incarceration. And that though our gut reaction might be to look away, to hide from it for the sake of our individual mental health, we cannot afford to. A friend of mine recently said that they were trying to mentally reframe doom scrolling as bearing witness. And that really resonates with me. At a minimum, it is each of our responsibility to bear witness and to not forget. Hopefully, this little action might ripple outwards in our lives and become waves for positive change. We are now going to listen to Witness by Connor Donetto.
Thank you.
You're listening to 3CR. It's Toby from Solidarity Breakfast. You've just been listening to the excerpts from the Vigil for Gaza down at Batman Park. If you'd like to hear the full speeches, you can go to 3cr.org.au/DLF2024.